Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle, and this week on the internet, I discovered I share my name with a San Francisco porn actor who's in a little film called The Naughty Bears Trio.
Oh, yeah.
Just nice to have friends.
I saw part two, sorry. Wait, how did it take you this many episodes to find the porn actor you share?
Maybe he's just new on the scene.
Yeah, maybe he's just started.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He was formerly Josh Duke. And he's
Himself to an album. Has he ever been on set and had a porn actress go, I thought you were the comedian from Australia?
I also look way like different naked.
How male porn actors are porn actors, but females are porn stars.
Right.
Well,
it's tough for men.
We have some way to go in the porn industry.
Although, if I said name all the female porn stars, you know, could we name way more females than males? I can only name two males.
I can name more than two males.
James Dean.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's another one.
He's a bad person.
Who's the most famous one though?
The sleazy one, the one who was like with the mustache and everything in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Greasy. He used to look.
Not John Holmes.
John Holmes.
There's another guy.
And then the most recent guy,
Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy. And I think that's it for me.
So we've got three though. That's three. Yeah.
The women were Linda Lovelace.
Yes.
Don't know
from
that
from Deep Throat.
Oh, okay.
From Deep Throat.
I don't know the classics.
Who's the current?
How many? I don't reigning champion.
I have interviewed a porn star before.
Right.
On radio.
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah. Will and I interviewed a porn star once, and I can't remember her name, but she gave us a DVD of her work.
Oh, great.
And then we interviewed her.
My boyfriend used to be on the radio.
End of story.
My boyfriend used to be on the radio, and when he was moving house, he had had this thing in his room for a very long time, this like plaque that had a picture of him and his co-host with this porn star that they had interviewed. And then set in the plaque was a baseball bat, like about a foot long, but the same shape and size as a baseball bat. And we were together for a year before, on the day that he was moving.
Sorry,
and I had
say,
to pack
everyone
it.
In the room knows where, yes, where this plaque's been.
But it took me an entire year of looking at this plaque to go, has that bat been in that woman? And the answer was not that bad.
That's a replica.
I don't know her name though. Yeah. So what a shame.
Good news is the audience doesn't know who said that story because I haven't introduced anyone yet. Right.
It's
our four
cheeky alternative
now
to signing memorabilia. You place it inside you.
The worst place for a splinter ever.
Okay, who are these four people? Our first guest shares his name with a New York City relationship manager. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Limo.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Very nice.
A New York City relationship manager.
Relationship manager, okay. Yeah.
He's named Limo. That's weird.
Not professional.
Anthony Limo.
Oh, okay, right.
Anthony Limo, yeah. I'm sorry. Sure there's a few of us out there.
Yeah.
I'll look him up when I'm in New York.
There you go. Our next guest. When you type her name into Google, one of the related searches is Gillian Cosgrove Cursed Child. Can you please welcome Gillian Cosgrove?
Yay!
That's because you're in the Harry Potter show, The Cursed Child.
I am.
Not just because you were a terrible kid.
Is it both?
I mean, only my mum can say, and I hope she doesn't listen to this on account of that story.
I hope she does. We need the numbers. Okay, also joining us is a comedian whose Google-related searches are Sean McAuliffe, Michael Veitch, and Tommy Dasilo. Can you please welcome Sonia Diorio?
What?
It just says people also search for these people, but Tommy comes up first. Tommy, then Sean McAuliffe, then Michael Veitch.
You really need to get some Google SEO stuff going and like change your search
engine
optimization.
I need to get
separated
from that. Yeah.
What's your Michael Veitch connection?
I have no idea.
I just think it comes up Australian comedians. And then that was the list.
I'm at the top, obviously.
Well, you're
Tommy Dazzolo. Yeah. Then Sean McCartney. Yeah.
And finally, is a comedian who shares his name with a law firm in Canada. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Sammy Shah.
Hey, thank you very much.
Did you know about this?
I did, indeed. There's a law firm in Canada. There's an editorial columnist in London. And both of them have the better URLs now. I lost mine, so I'm no longer sammyshah.com.
What are you now?
I have to be, because I forgot to renew it 1 year, and then the guy, I think the guy in UK picked it up, and so now I'm the Sammy Shah, which makes me sound like a more pretentious asshole than normal.
Because on Twitter, I'm Mr. Josh Earl, because Josh Earl was already taken. Okay. Yeah, and the guy does not use it, and I'm so annoyed.
Well, right now, while we're recording this, at least a few days earlier, Jeffrey Epstein, the notorious child molester, died.
Yes.
And there's a Jeffrey R. Epstein on Twitter.
I saw that,
whose entire weekend has just been dealing with people going, you sick bastard, you pedophile. And he's like,
he's a publicist for Disney as
That's
well.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's hardly a shock to him that he's got the same name.
Yeah.
As I like a super dodgy dude.
People don't do the basic minimum amount of research to check if it's actually the
right
person.
Well, I like the fact that their thought
process. Throwing out death threats.
And their thought process is he's committed suicide. Yeah. He's in prison. He must be on Twitter still. He must be active. You know, he'll see my tweet.
Okay, this first round is called Social Updates by the four of you. If you think you know who tweeted it or Instagrammed it, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You can't buzz in for your own ones. Poker faces on. First one is this one. Who wrote this? Of all the inanimate objects, I would say the shower curtain has the poorest understanding of consent.
Limo.
Yes, Limo.
I'm going to say that is Sonia.
You are incorrect. There's a point there for Julian Cosgrove. Yes.
Roadshow in a fail. Get off me, dirty shower.
It is really the worst thing. Yeah. Just feeling, having a shower and just feeling
just
that
creeping
wet.
Creeping up your plastic.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
I had, do you want me to tell you something?
Yes.
That long pause, that long pause really sets up the
By
story
By your
well.
Facial expression, yes, we do want to hear
this.
This
out, yeah. can't you?
I can.
If it's too rank.
It won't be too rank.
I was in the Middle East on an army base. And so, you know, there's a lot of young men, a lot of young women as well, but I was talking to the young men at the time and I was staying rooming with them. And they said, a couple of young blokes said to me, what do you think of the showers? They were asking me about different things in the base. And they said, what about showers? What do you think? I said, they're not that fancy, but they're okay. And another bloke goes, don't touch the walls of the showers. You could get pregnant.
Oh, yay.
That's saying.
Don't
remind me about that. Just,
question two, Lion King remake review. Watch the 1994 classic instead. Beyonce and Donald Glover's voice acting is bland. The songs are duller than the originals. The whole thing is bland.
Sonia.
Yes, Sonia.
Sammy?
You are correct.
I was furious at the Lion King remake. It was really upsetting. I'm sorry. I'm done with the Beyonce.
You expecting
pretending
it,
like I care about Beyonce. I'm done. Great. She's a great musician, but you don't have to shove yourself into everything. Your voice acting as Nala was freaking mediocre.
I'm not sure if she demanded
she spends the entire
to be
time
in
going,
the movie.
Oh, Simba. And that's it. Like, yeah. And what's his name? Who does Simba's voice?
Donald Glover.
He's a genius.
Yeah,
he's a shit voice actor. Yeah. He is a terrible voice actor. Anyone in this room could have done a better Simba. Simba shouldn't sound low-key cool. Simba should have energy and panic and concern and everything.
JTT was pretty cool back in the day.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, all this movie did was made me realize how much I love the classic. And I'm not one of those purists. Like, I love the Aladdin remake, all of them. This one pissed me off.
In defense of Beyonce, I don't think Beyonce would have been at the producer's house banging on his front door 24/7 going, please put me in the movie. I suspect it was the other way around.
But, you know, get a voice coach. Do one lesson.
Has anyone done voice acting? Do you get directed?
Yeah, a lot.
You get directed in a way, I'm thinking about ads. You get directed in a way that's like, can you make it sound more like a sponge? like a mum sponge.
But they'll also say really contradictory things that are impossible to relay. Can you sound happier but keep a bit of sadness in it?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
You know, Beyonce turned up, did an afternoon of recording with seven people filming her for that documentary archive she keeps of her life for some reason. And then
you do not care.
No, I don't. I'm
you
done.
Hated
you know what? I choose Kim and Kanye. over Beyonce.
Oh, that was not face. Required. Oh, yes. That was not
I do. I know nobody asked me to do that, but I've made that choice. They have more character.
I also think it'd be hard as a director to direct Beyonce. Who's telling Beyonce what to do? Like, she hasn't taken direction from
Robert
anyone.
Robert De Niro still takes direction. Beyonce can take motherfucking direction. Anyway, sorry, I'm done. Let's move on.
They'd have a vote in the studio. No, you tell it. You tell it. You go and tell it.
Yeah. All right, question three. You can't send a text to menu log. Well, you can, but your messages will not go through.
Limo.
Yes, Limo.
Limo.
I'm going to say, just purely through process of elimination, and I know it's not me, Sonia.
You are correct. Yes, it was Sonia. Yes.
What the fuck?
Why did you try texting menu log?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Was it feedback? Where are you?
You up?
No, you know what? I probably accidentally texted them and it didn't go through.
All right.
Because I was like, yeah, probably you up. Maybe I was like, one night I was out at a party quite a while ago and we were out of alcohol. And this was a while ago, so it's kind of before
Dipple.
Alcohol. Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, restaurants on menu log have alcohol. So I ordered a bunch of alcohol from a restaurant.
And what?
Maybe it was that night as well.
And some Papa Dums because they don't deliver it like without
no,
any
I remember
food.
I'd ordered and they delivered the alcohol and then the guy came and he's like, "Oh, hey, next time you don't need to instead of texting the restaurant, here's my number and then you don't need to pay the delivery fee.
Nice.
So I'll bring you the alcohol." And so I did that, and he brought it to the party, and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Like, how great.
I love when that happens.
And then
well.
The next day, I get a text from this man. Ah, hey, nice to meet you last
never mind.
Night.
What's I don't love when that happens.
I'm like, oh, no good. No good.
He's got lots of booze.
Yeah.
Question four. I've leveled up on my procrastination. I just Googled music to do your taxes to.
Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
Limo.
No, that was Jillian.
Oh,
so point
really?
For Jillian again. Yeah.
I don't need music to do my taxes too. It's intoxicating enough
for me. Yeah. Ex-accountant.
I can't get enough.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All right, next question. To all the people thinking about climbing Uluru for the view, I'm pretty sure the view at the top is the same as down the bottom. Red dirt as far as the eye can see.
Jill.
Yes, Jill.
Lima?
You are correct. Yeah. Another point there for Jillian, yes.
He's doing a very still face.
Yeah, that's right. He's trying to evaluate.
Yeah, that was me when I did that. I got a hot air balloon ride once in Alice Springs. And we got up super early in the morning and we went out and we got the hot air balloon. And then we went up in the air and I had that realisation in a hot air balloon. What a
waste of money.
Fucking waste of time.
Also, Alice Springs.
The view up there is exactly this. Just nothing.
Alice Springs is so hot, they just call them balloons there, but yes.
Could you see Uluru from Alice Springs though? Because it's like a 7-hour drive or something.
It's a long way. No, I don't think we could see it on that particular hot air balloon ride. But friends of mine have just been up at Uluru. And they said there's a queue around the corner too.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Because it shuts down in October.
So people are going, can we get it in now?
Let's go to our cultural insensitivity in now.
Let's go and climb it now. If you go, have you been to?
No,
at the bottom,
I've
there's
never
a whole
been.
Bunch of plaques for the people who have died climbing it.
Oh wow!
So it's like such a, like it's a really stark reminder there. If you ignore everything else, it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah,
like there's a good chance we'll die.
But that's like Everest,
people
right?
Go, fuck
now.
This! Don't tell me what to
Everest.
Do.
Everest. People keep climbing.
There's
it
a line all the way up. Yeah.
People are climbing over dead bodies.
Yeah.
Why did people want to climb it? I'm so baffled.
Yeah.
On the same.
I am so baffled.
Unless you're the first. Who cares?
I don't even want to climb like a regular mountain.
You're going to say stairs.
Yes, also stairs. And I'm not going to freeze to death on stairs.
All right, question six. People are angry because someone made fun of meditation. I'm done with Twitter for a while, I think. Too much stupidity on here to deal with.
Sonia.
Yes, Sonia.
Sammy?
You are correct, yes. Sonia.
Yeah.
So what was happening there?
Dude, there was, I can't even remember. It was, when George Columbaris had, there was a cover thing of his, and he'd written that he loves to meditate after we found out he doesn't pay anyone. And then someone, some journalist or someone said, of course he loves to meditate, only wankers meditate. And then a whole lot of people, were like, how dare you, meditation's from my culture. And I was like, oh, calm down. Like, okay, meditation's fucking everyone's culture. You don't own meditation because you're a second generation immigrant. Like, calm down. Everyone can make fun of meditation or not make fun of it. Like, you don't have to. This, we need better outrage than that. And then I took a day off Twitter.
I love people who meditate, they would be more relaxed about that kind of stuff.
Oh, no. The most wound people, tightly wound people are the ones who do those coloring books as well, mindfulness ones. That's a person on the verge of snapping.
It is ironic, isn't it, that people into meditation get so angry about it.
I've seen those, you know, the mindfulness books.
Yeah.
I've seen them for kids as well, which is shocking. Like, they're
already
promoting colouring books for kids.
Yeah,
it's
that's
shocking.
Gross. That's gross. Yeah. With lines and everything, yeah.
That doesn't catch on.
Niche industry.
They're so shit at it.
Yeah.
I constantly want to tell my son, are you fucking joking me? Like,
what's
do your eyes even work? That line is so obvious. There. It's all over the shop.
Question.
It's like he's two.
Question seven. My reaction reading down my Twitter feed today. Awesome. Wow. Are you serious? I'll get fucked. You idiot. How can you think that? She's amazing. That's racist. Why is he so angry? Why is she so angry? No, I'm with you. You should get off Twitter. I love this story. Oh, that's bullshit.
Jill.
Yes, Jill.
Sonia.
No, that was Lebo. Point there for Lebo.
That's practically a TED talk.
I can't remember. It was a particular day. There was a news story had broken that day. And I can't remember. But there was like a really great thing that happened and a really shit thing that happened.
Yeah.
And then people would like either super happy
or
just fuck angry as shit.
It's I've muted Twitter on my phone because I tweeted about Ben Simmons last night and it's just gone crazy. Because one, Will Anderson retweeted it.
Yes.
And that makes a lot more eyes that don't normally follow me on it. And so I'm just copying it from a bunch of people. And also a lot of people saying it's nice, but I'm like, I can't. It's like 3,000 favourites later.
Can't deal
and I'm
with
like,
the
I'm.
Shit
I'm
it was a good tweet, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yours.
Thanks.
It was great. I did think, though, when I read it, I thought when within one of your tweets, you mentioned him just signing a $200 million contract. And I thought, I reckon. That's the bit that
people are
going to turn around.
Yeah, because I said he's out here on holiday. Like, he just signed a $170 million American contract, so 230 Australian. He's out here on holiday, which is actually paid for by the government, but he didn't ask for that. They offered it, and he went, yeah, who's going to turn that down?
Beyonce situation.
Yeah.
So he's knocking on the door.
And that's what people are having a go at. But I'm like, he's 23, he's got $230 million. He doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If I was 23 and with $230 million, I would not be doing this podcast today, tell you, unless something went really, really wrong.
Okay. And he dates a Kardashian, so Sammy would be right behind him.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, used
I
to.
Have no knowledge
used to date
about any of
these. Are they not together anymore?
No, broke up once. Oh. Once they got kicked out of the playoffs, she went off.
Sad.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll bounce back.
Yeah.
Okay, question eight. Business idea. Expectant parents send me their ideas for baby names, and I'll let them know the nicknames bullies will give them at school.
Sonia.
Yes, Sonia.
Jillian?
Yes, you are correct. Point there for Sonia. It's a great idea.
It is a
Did
good
it take
idea.
Off?
Yeah.
Well, no, because what got awkward is that people I know were like, what about my kid's name? And then I was like, I can't. Someone was like, Harriet. And I was like, I mean, I want to tell him Horiet, but she's only one. He's not prepared.
It's a good service.
Yeah.
It is a good service.
But it needs to be an anonymous person running that service.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
I need to keep it on the DL.
But I did that with my wife when we were like pregnant with Oliver, like she was like going through names, like, all right, well, what's the name going to, this is what I would tease him as.
That's what I check for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very important.
We did our daughter, Anya, in Pakistan, and we went through all the possible things in Urdu. No possible way anyone could make fun of her name. Mm. Nailed it, foolproof name, came to Australia right away, lasagna, onion, like everything. I forgot about English.
You could join my service, Sammy. We could do it in multiple languages in case you're planning a move as a family.
It's like our son, fuck off. We went through everything. Oh, Greek,
yeah.
Nothing.
Russian, right? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Question nine. D'Arcy Carden didn't get nominated for the Emmy she deserves more than anyone else. Who tweeted that?
Limo. Was that Sammy?
You are correct. Yes, yes. For Limo.
The Good Place.
Yes.
She was amazing in that.
Did you
watch it?
The Good Place.
She's what's it called? The character's name?
Janet?
Janet. Oh, and then she played every single character in one episode.
Yes, she did too.
And she deserved the Emmy for that one.
It is
so good. She's such a good actress. Yeah, she's fantastic.
She was good in that.
I'm really passionate about inane shit, I just realized.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying your passion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. But I carry into my personal life, clearly. That's a problem. But
you
yeah,
know, you're working at the ABC, Sammy. It's not. You don't have the platform.
I think
for this,
that's what it is.
This kind of stuff.
I just get like inundated with hard news, and I'm just like, I need to put the energy somewhere else now.
If you're in commercial radio, this would be 6 to 9 every morning. You're wheeling this stuff out.
Also, for the listeners, I didn't get nominated for my job as a voice coach on The Good Place. I taught them how to speak Australian on The Good Place.
They did a really good job there. Yeah, clearly. They nailed it. They nailed it.
All right, question 10. Wearing your oldest underwear is like having a friend judge you for a bad decision. They're like, look, I'm here, but I do not support you.
Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
Sonia.
No, that was Gillian. Gillian. Yes.
Oh, I was like, this is funny. Who is this?
I changed it so it wasn't gendered. You said your oldest, bra.
Oh, so what year is that from?
2016, I think. I went
You're
back.
Like, I'm no longer wear bras.
Things have changed.
That was the opening line of the comedy festival that year.
Very good line. Okay.
Well, now you're doing the cursed child. You can afford new bras.
This is true.
That's right. With all the Harry Potter
Sweet
money.
Sweet Harry Potter underwear money. I'm not allowed to say that.
At Harry Potter underwear money.
At the end of the round, the scores are Sammy on 0 points. Didn't get off the mark there. Limo on 3 points. Sonia on 3 points. But in the lead on 4 points is Gillian Cosgrove.
Oh, my God. Bravo.
Nice. Not so cursed.
All right, this round is called Like a Virgin. Now, new round, same rules though. In this round, we're going to go back in time to talk about our first time, or in particular, one person's first time. Today, we're going back to a young Sammy Shah. Mm. But what was the setting for the deflowering of young Sammy? Ooh. Did he lose his virginity in? Wait for it. A, his best friend's parents' bed. Once his best friend found out, though, he was super angry with him, not because it was in his parents' bed, because he then had to wash the sheets and put them back on the bed.
Ooh.
Was it B? It was in an aeroplane. So Sammy's probably one of the few people to ever join the Mile High Club as their first time. Or C, at his workplace in the supply cupboard. He got found out by his work colleague because when Sammy came out, he was actually smiling and his colleague found that weird. Now, one of these is true. You can ask him as many questions as you want to get the truth out of him, but bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets all your points.
Okay, so where were you working, the supply cupboard?
GWTU is an ad agency, so J. Walter Thompson.
And the supply cupboard is all the stationery?
Yeah, art supplies. It's been when you're an art director, you get access to supply cupboards. There are only three art directors, and we each had a key, and it's just full of different kind of paper, pens, and everything, but it's a nice big room.
I get that would turn you on. Cause
yeah.
Well, there's
a lot to work with in there.
the problem, though, is...
But you know that feeling you get when you walk into Office Works?
Yeah.
Where you're like...
Yes.
What, where you get an erection? No.
Anyone? Guys?
The girls like, see all these colours? Maybe want to keep it in the line?
Pantone or Pantone?
There's something about fresh stationery that really works for me.
Right.
Yeah, maybe again, that's my accounting.
Yeah.
How big is the supply cupboard?
The supply cupboard would be, I'm trying to think, the size of a twice as large as an airplane bathroom. Would
okay.
be a good
okay,
example.
So still petite.
Right?
That's pretty small.
Yeah, it is. It you can fit two people in easily. Like, you're not hitting shoulders against walls, things like that.
You're not banging staples off the wall, hitting an overhead projector.
Exactly.
How
yeah.
old were you at the time?
20.
Okay.
So, you know, late bloomer, if you will. But in my defense, I was in Pakistan at the time.
Right.
So
that's early bloomer, perhaps.
That's in Pakistan.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. No, by the way, still lost out of all my friends. So they all bloomed much more normally than I did.
Where was the flight?
From Karachi to Washington, D.C., because I was studying in university in Virginia at the time. So you'd go Karachi to London, Karachi to Bahrain, Bahrain to London, London to Washington, D.C.
And on what leg?
This would have been on the London to Washington, D.C. leg.
He meant actually what leg. If you crammed in there, like,
of course. Yeah. With both legs off the ground because you're on the toilet, right, yeah.
And who was the girl?
The girl was someone I met on the plane.
Shut up.
At the start of the flight.
Get
that
out.
Doesn't
basically.
Happen. I'll put a line through that one. Right
okay.
That does not happen.
Let's go to your friend's parents' bedroom.
Yes.
How stained were the sheets?
How
heavy a cycle did your friend have to wash them on?
Okay. In my defense, not very stained because we were both young and new at this. 20 is young for me anyway. But we were new at this. Mm-hmm. It was the idea of it that more grossed him out than anything else.
Right.
The fact that I and a other person had been naked on and sweaty on those sheets.
Was there like a party? How did this initiate?
Like, we didn't have parties so much. We used to just kind of get together. We used to call, in Pakistan, they call GTs, get togethers. It's just when people get together and just have a few drinks, talk shit, you know, goes on till late at night. This one went on till the wee hours of the morning. Everyone else was either going to sleep, sitting there on the couch with a few drinks in their hand, or people went home, and she and I just kind of hung around.
Are gin and tonics really popular at these GTs?
Scotch. Pakistan is a Scotch country because we used to be colonized by the British. Yeah. So, yes.
How drunk were you?
Not too drunk. I hardly ever drank up until I came to Australia and acquired a taste for white wine.
There's some cultural differences.
How did your friend find out? Did you tell him? Did he enter the room?
Yes. So he, we came out. And then afterwards, he I guess half an hour, within the next half an hour, he said, what happened in there? And I was like, dude, I lost my virginity. I just got laid. It's incredible. And he goes, that's disgusting. That's my parents' bed. Like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, yeah, but come on, man. Like we're friends. What am I not supposed to do that? And he's like, all right, fine. And then he took care of the laundry and stuff.
Did you continue to see that girl?
Yes. Yeah. For at least another month.
Were you dating her when you flew to Washington?
No. I was definitely single when I flew to Washington.
Yes. In the supply closet, was it a coworker? Who
yes.
was it?
Yeah, it was a coworker.
How did this happen?
So basically, she was a copywriter. I am an art director, as the song goes.
Mm.
And I think it was an Avril Lavigne song, right? Yes.
A lot of things rhyme with copywriter.
First draft.
That's right, yeah. And... And there was that flirtation in the office, sexual tension, been going on for a while. I'm not good at asking people out, so I was very shy about it. So it took me a long time to kind of work up the nerve, even though I had been told that she likes me and she's interested in me. And then once at an office retreat, where they used to send us to Thailand every few months to do kind of massive workshop training things, we made out a few times. And then when we went back to the office, we clearly were really into each other. And the problem is I live with my parents, she lives with her parents, so we're working late.
Yeah.
We're working late on a project because in advertising you work till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. So we were working very late one night, and then I was in the supply cupboard, she came into the supply cupboard, and it just happened. Yeah. It was inadvertent.
But did anyone find out at work?
No. Not that I've ever known of.
Was
maybe,
it what time
maybe.
Of the day was it?
Oh, this is late night. This is would be close to midnight, in fact.
Do you reckon it was like a regular hookup place? That's the last supply
I hope
closet.
Not.
Don't touch the walls.
I didn't touch
the supply
it.
Did you have to wash the staplers afterwards?
No, like I don't know why everyone assumes I'm so fluid.
Jizzy.
You know? Right, yeah, jizzy. Thank you.
How do you feel about stationery today?
Look, I still have a conditioned response to a good stencil. Yeah, but look, no, it's yeah. It, I don't know what to say other than when the mood strikes, the mood strikes.
Okay,
what
but
you
said a colleague asked you. You came out of the supply cupboard smiling.
I hated advertising. So it was an.
No,
I was
but so who else was there? This
oh, there's like a copy. There's another copywriter, junior copywriter. She was the senior copywriter. I was senior art director. There was another junior art director as well as the client services guy. Client services people also stick around in advertising.
Well, let's make the juniors stick around so when people are fucking.
Yeah, basically. So they, you know, they could do the work while we enjoyed ourselves.
Do
yes.
people know what they're going to lock in?
Yeah.
Okay, Sonia, what are you going to lock
I'm
in?
I'm going to go for the supply cupboard.
See the supply mm-hmm. cupboard. Limo.
Yeah. I'm going to go for the best mate's parents' bed.
Parents' bed. And Gillian.
I'm also going to... Oh, he looks so pleased with himself. I just don't think it's the plane. The plane. The plane, the cupboard. The plane, the bed, the cupboard, the plane, the cupboard. I choose the cupboard.
You're going to choose the cupboard. Yeah, the correct answer was B, the plane.
Yep.
3 points there for Sammy.
Shut up. What do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
So... So,
which leg?
So basically, the right. It's a long flight from Karachi to America. This would have been 1999.
We've all been on long
flights.
I know.
Yes, you get bored.
This is 1999, January 1999. And I was flying to university. So I get on the plane in Karachi, and it's a very empty flight because it's flying on Christmas Day. So there's no one on these flights. It's quite empty. Karachi to Bahrain, there's a woman sitting across from me, she's a Pakistani woman as well. We start chatting, We spent 7 hours in Bahrain chatting, really just getting along incredibly well. From Bahrain to Heathrow, which is another six-hour flight, we just talk a lot. In Heathrow, we end up getting a few drinks at a bar. We're there for 4 or 5 hours as well. And then on the Heathrow to Washington, D.C., like, again, we're empty. On the plane's completely empty, two of us, and we're talking and everything. And
why'd
then
you bother going
said,
to the toilet then?
Well,
was
because
empty.
Still, like, I'm not an animal. But, but also because it was her idea, because I was younger, a few years younger, and she said, I'm going to the bathroom, come there in 2 minutes. And then I was like, what? And then I went there, and then sex happened. I think is a technical way of describing it. And then we had she lived in Chicago, so I was in Virginia, so we had a long-distance relationship for a while. And then she moved to Scotland to work for, this is true, Sean Connery's political party. He was a major member of a political party in Scotland. And she said, that's the job that they've offered me and I'm going there. Never heard from her again. But the thing that's funniest about this is it was a flight to Virginia on Virgin Atlantic. and I was a virgin at the time. So there's a triple whammy, if you will. Yeah.
Wow,
And nothing has ever, it's not like I'm a wild sex guy who like doing crazy places. Nothing has ever been exciting since then in terms of that. That was a high bar, and then it has been normal after that.
Well, I mean, you describe it as a high bar.
Yeah. For one of us, it was, yes.
And so you say she was a few years old. When you say a few years older,
2 years
you mean
older.
Like 35,
no,
30,
3 years,
3 years
older.
Older.
Yeah, no, that's right.
So she was a friend of, you know, a friend of mine was on a flight once, mm-hmm. and from Sydney to London, and it was ages ago, so it had a couple of stops. It wasn't one, like two stops, and he kind of befriended this girl he was sitting near on the plane, and then on the final, in fact, I think it was on the second stop, they might have got a drink somewhere. Anyway, they started pashing on, and then they had a pash on the plane as well, and then but when they got to London, they said, "All right, there, anyway, see you later. That's it." And they never saw each other again. The girl was Lady Di.
What?
No.
No way.
Before she married
Before.
Prince Charles.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
It's really cool to see that episode of The Crown.
So
he was on the plane and he was sitting next to an English couple and he was kind of talking to this girl, it was Lady Di, or Diana Spencer at the time. And then she walked off and this couple went, "Hey, do you know who that is?" And he goes, "Okay, I've got no idea." And they said, "Oh, well, she's probably going to be Prince Charles's part," or something like that. And he went, "Oh, yeah, right, whatever."
Wasn't she a no-name before they announced that?
Well,
this
she was but
though?
This must have been close to them starting dating or whatever. So then he kind of, they walked through a few airports together on the various stops, and then just,
Reminds me of the time I fucked Prince Harry in the airplane. Yeah,
yeah.
Where was that again? Okay, is this the next round?
Yeah, it's the next one.
Melbourne to London.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores are Sammy on 3 points.
Excellent.
From 0 to 3.
I'm back.
Sonia on 3 points. Lima on 3 points. And still on 4 points is Gillian Cosgrove. Yeah.
Well done.
All right, this round is called Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, in this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. You can ask them as many questions as you want to try and get the truth. If you get it right, you get a point. If the person, and a point to the person, the fact may or may not be bad. If you're incorrect, so to Sammy. Mm-hmm. When Sonia was in primary school, their class took swimming lessons at the local pool. Sonia didn't want to do it, so for the entire lesson, she just hid in the toilet. She remembers halfway through an adult coming into the change room and doing a piss so loud it scared Sonia into thinking that when you're an adult, peeing must really hurt. Yeah or nah?
Okay, so which town, city was this in?
I grew up in Gippsland.
Okay.
And the town was called Morwell.
And why didn't you like going swimming?
Because I hated doing any kind of sport at school.
And was it co-ed school, boys, girls?
Yeah, co-ed.
So which toilet did you go into?
To the women's
toilet.
The
women's,
all
right, okay. And the person who came in, do you remember what they looked like?
Well, it was a teacher, mm-hmm. but I don't, I do.
Okay. But and where were you hiding in the room?
I was in one of the cubicles. Yeah.
Okay. So they were in the cubicle next to you?
Yeah.
All right. So you could heard them, but you could, you said you could also see them.
No, I just knew who it was.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And how long were you hiding in there?
I was hiding in there for most of the class. I was a very shy child and I hated any athletics days, any footy days, any swimming days. I didn't know what a period was yet, so I couldn't fake that I had that.
Right. I have the thing I don't know about right here.
Yeah. But it sounded like, you know, like a pump bottle or like a Powerade bottle. Mm-hmm. Like if someone was to squeeze that really hard, I just, maybe it was because I was a kid.
I just, yes.
And it was just like such an intense
noise. And also because you were scared in that moment and it sounds louder.
Yeah, also, yeah.
Did you learn how to swim after that?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Today, do you know how to swim?
I can swim. Okay. Yeah.
All right. yeah. I'll go now.
You're going to go now?
I'm going to go now.
You are correct. Yeah. Yes.
Excellent.
All right, so I'll point there for Sammy. Got the point. Okay.
I get a feeling Josh is a really hard pisser.
No, but do you remember, I don't know if something happens to a certain age for men that they get that foam on their piss.
No, you should get checked.
when they get blood in there?
My dad used to go to the toilet, and then if I go after him, he hadn't flushed because we were like trying to save water because it was on rainwater tank in Tassie. There'd be that foam. That only
foam.
Men.
I said you mean
because you're pissing so hard.
It creates bubbles and the bubbles.
Does that happen?
Not even. Yeah. Never. Not that I know of. I don't know.
And to watch him piss.
Well, just afterwards.
There's a story about.
Did you see him piss or did you just see the aftermath?
No, you go afterwards because he wouldn't flush the toilet unless it was a shit. And then,
Josh's dad is the guy with foam all over his pants.
Yeah.
When Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe were getting married, they went to Joe DiMaggio's house and to meet the parents. And Marilyn Monroe was really shy about them hearing her wee. So she went up to the bathroom and she turned the tap on full and then pissed and then came down. And then after dinner when everything was done, Joe DiMaggio and his father were chatting and Joe, you know, what do you think of Marilyn? And Joe DiMaggio's father says, beautiful girl, pisses like a racehorse.
It's so, I don't understand people's hang-ups about having people hear them pee.
Well, depends, right?
Or like there's people who my sister's friend said she won't poo at her boyfriend's apartment. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Mental.
I used to work with a girl who wouldn't poo in the office. She
in the
had
office.
To wait.
In the office.
She
that's good.
She had to go home.
She had to go home to go and have a poo.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people like that.
I'm keeping
Ronnie Cheng, he's like that.
I don't poo in public Ronnie places.
Cheng. Yeah, well, Ronnie has a shower after every time he does a shit.
Yeah.
So he can't shower. He can't do shit if he's out. He's got to go where there's
can't,
a shower.
I can't. I've left parties. I've left gigs.
That's
after
right?
I've done my spot and just caught the cab home because I need to go to the bathroom.
Really?
I can't do it.
Like if you're can't doing do a gig in a pub or something.
Not even. I will set myself on fire rather than go to the toilet in a fucking
that
pub.
That is insane. Oh, and you're going to have problems with your bowels
later.
No.
I already do. I have IBS because of this, I can assure you.
Because of that?
No. But I've come close. Like there's definitely been. Because your body knows when you get close to the house. So the moment like the Uber or the taxi or your own car turns the corner, your bowels are like, fuck it, we're home. Let's let go. Like, no.
Now, this is all great for the next question as well, because Sonia, speaking of pissing, Limo was once busted pissing in the bushes by golfing great Greg Norman.
Whoa. Which bushes?
Outside Greg Norman's house.
Outside Greg Norman's bathroom. No, they were bushes on a golf course, so it was near, so it's a golf course, and the bushes on the golf course.
Right. Yes. Had you been playing golf?
Yes. Yes.
Had he been playing golf?
He was. It was like a charity day, so I was playing golf. I was in a group, and there were a whole bunch of groups around the whole golf course. And he was there as part of the charity day, and he was in a golf cart, and he was going around to the different groups on the golf course just to play like a hole with each different group on the day. And as he was coming up in the buggy to play golf around a hole with our group, I just happened at that moment to be in the bushes having a leak. Because when you're on a golf course, you can't rush home and have a shower afterwards.
Unless you're styling off. What did he say to you when he saw you?
What he said, he didn't say anything specific. He was actually with, he was with Chris Evert. He was married to her.
There was a whole group watching you
there
piss.
There was a whole group. So he was with Chris Evert and they had like a couple of minors or whatever behind them in the next.
M-I-N-O-R-S or
no,
E-R-S?
The D.
Oh, Minders. Okay, all right, sorry. Yeah.
Minders.
Children
minders
or people who go down in caves.
No, Minders.
I don't think
off. As they came up, he just went, oh, what's going on here? Busted, mate, that
yeah.
kind of.
Right, yeah. right.
Like
right,
the normal
kind of,
kind of lad response to catching another bloke.
He said,
having a pee in public.
He said, four. And Lima said, actually, no, circumcised. So.
And then he came down and helped me with my grip, which was
And your swing?
Yes.
I reckon nah.
You are incorrect. Oh, it was yeah. Point there for Limo. Yeah.
True story.
That's amazing.
It was, yeah, it was in it was 2009, I think, and it was a fundraiser for bushfire victims. And he'd just been, and it was at the RACV club at the, it was like the Heritage Golf Course, it was called at the time. Anyway, funny story, him and Chris Evert, who he was married to at the time, and Richard Twee Forrest, who was the richest man in Australia at the time, Whoa. Were in Marysville meeting bushfire victims, and we were all waiting for them at the golf course to turn up, right? And it was late June, so it was heavy fog out there, it's in the Yarra Valley, and they came in a chopper from Marysville, and they were just going to land on the course and then get out like legends onto the first tee and just bang, hit the ball, and then catch the chopper to the ball the whole way around the course. And but they couldn't land because of the fog, so they had to land the chopper in a paddock a few k's away. So then, so Twee Forrest, Greg Norman, and Chris Evert get out of the chopper, jump a fence, walk through bushes, and stop a farmer on a country road.
Oh,
right, so it's the richest man in Australia, Greg Norman, and Chris Evert, who's won 17 Grand Slams. And they just stopped this farmer who must have been thinking this is the weirdest fucking
yeah.
day ever.
Yeah.
That's the richest man in Australia. And Greg Norman. Anyway, they get out and they got in the car and this farmer dropped them off at the golf course. And then they came and we played.
That's
and they
insane.
Came around to in the golf carts to each hole and played a hole with everyone. Yeah. And
then
you know
so
what?
You
and we finished that day. We played. There was a function that night. Simon and Garfunkel sang at the
really?
Function. Yes. And came to the event separately because they fucking hate each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they were both staying.
Together.
They were gigging and
wow.
they were taken out separately to well, the Yarra Valley.
So, to Limo. Now, one year for Gillian's birthday, her mum made her a bag out of her dad's old jeans. It was the ugliest thing that Gillian had ever seen. And when she moved house, she organised for the removalists to lose the bag because she felt too guilty if she just threw it away. Yeah or nah?
How old were you at the time?
My mum gave the bag to me for my 24th birthday.
24th. And it was your mum into arts and crafts?
Oh, very much. Still, oh. She's a quilter now. She loves to quilt.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yes.
Has she made other presents for you over the years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, many presents.
And have you got any favourites?
I mean, the bag is the piece de resistance.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Because it's like, sure. my dad's a big, like, people don't believe it when they see the bag because he's a big guy. So the bag is about this wide.
Right.
And it's covered in, like, she kept all this trim, so there were like ribbons and bits of fabric and buttons from things I had owned in my life as well, all over it.
And your dad's jeans.
And the outside is my dad's jeans. So this is like a denim bag. It's like a right. thing that mums make.
And his jeans had that. Yeah, yeah. I get it. My mum was a real mender.
Yeah,
yeah I had uh-huh. clothes that were more mending than original material. So with the jeans, were they kind of torn and about to be thrown out? And was this a sort of a way to save a bit of material? Or did she just thieve the jeans off of him and use perfectly good jeans?
No, I think maybe he had grown out of... Now that you say that, I'm like, she is a cheapskate. It is surprising
right.
they weren't very old jeans.
Okay. Did they have... Were there leg holes in the bag? Could he have potentially still worn the bag
he
as
could
a pair
not,
of pants?
Sadly, he could not have worn the bag.
Okay.
Not with that unpicking it and making it not a bag anymore.
Do you still have it?
Yes.
You do. So what happened when you tried to have it thrown out?
Well, I was moving and the removalist suggested it. So I was like,
what?
I really want to throw this bag out. He goes to me, I was like, I don't know what to do with this. And he goes, sometimes we just lose things in the move, don't we? And I was like, and so I got to the new house and I put it in a pile of, you know, like rubbishy things where I was like, great, I'll get rid of it. And forgot that my mum was coming over to help my sister and I unpack. We lived together. We had moved to this new house together. And my mum came in and saw the bag on top of the pile of much garbage, and she immediately went, "You're not throwing that bag out, are you? I spent really a lot of time on that." And then immediately, full tears, keeled over, sobbing. And I was like, "I'll keep it. I'm so sorry. I'll keep it." And then realised that she was laughing hysterically because she'd spoken to my sister, and my sister was like, "Jill feels bad about getting rid of this bag." And Mum's like, "I don't care, but I'm going to pretend to be really upset about it."
So you've still got, and is it just stuffed in a cupboard somewhere?
Oh yes.
Right. Why don't you throw it out now?
But now there's like a thing about it. I don't know. I just feel too bad about it. It's so ugly.
I'm going to go yeah.
You are correct. Oh, yes, a point for Limo.
It was half like a show. It was half a show, and I would hold the bag at the door as people left. I revealed it. Because no one can imagine it. You have to see it. Like, some of the buttons are small ducks. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. And my mum would come to my show and then stand behind me, because I used to sell merch out of it at the end, so it was quite handy. And she would stand behind me to listen to what people had to say about it.
Yearning for one compliment, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, the stitching's nice.
Did you ever just... Like, we're just wishing for like a Kmart gift voucher or something like that.
I'd
ever
love a voucher. God, I'd love a voucher. Best present there is.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. To Gillian now. Yes. In 2004, Sammy's honeymoon was cancelled due to the tsunami. He told the airline that it was his honeymoon, and was there anything they could do when the check-in lady said, "You want me to reverse the tsunami? If I could do that, do you think I'd be working here?" Sammy has never felt more in his place than at that moment. Yeah or nah?
Where were you going on your honeymoon?
We were
going
to go to Phuket.
Okay.
Yes.
What month was this?
This is December, so this is the big Indonesian
tsunami. Thought I was
going to
catch him.
Yeah.
I know what tsunami it is.
26th December, yes.
Okay.
June 2011.
What did you think she would be able to do?
I was hoping for either all right, you know what, it's your honeymoon, here's a trip to, because we knew Koh Samui hadn't been flooded, it was still fine, so I thought maybe she'd be like, all right, we'll send you to Koh Samui instead, don't worry about it, you know, something like that, but obviously she wasn't in the mood to do that.
Did your wife know that you were making this call?
Yes, it was her idea, in fact, because she was very much like, let's not let the money go to waste, let's try something. After this, then she said, okay, you know what, I feel terrible, let's fly to Phuket anyway and work with the relief workers helping retrieve bodies. And I was like, are you fucked? Like, I'm not doing that on my honeymoon. Like, I love your sentiment, but come on, like, I don't want to be traumatized for life on my honeymoon. Yes.
What did you do instead?
We waited 6 months and then went to Phuket anyway.
Did they refund you?
No.
All right. What airline?
This was Thai Air. That's right.
Not Virgin anymore.
No.
So you just stayed home?
Yeah, we had no choice. Because so in the morning I woke up, right? The flight was in the evening. Morning I woke up, turned on the television just to see what's on the news. I turned on CNN and I saw Phuket flooded. And all of like parts of Thailand and everything. And I was like, that's where we're fucking supposed to be going. And then I started making calls and they're like, yeah, it's not happening. And at that point, we were checked into a hotel. So in Pakistan, I don't know if it happens here, but after you get married, the bride and groom check into a hotel for a couple of days. So we just extended the hotel stay for 2-3 days extra and kind of made that our holiday. And then that was it. And then just waited until 6 months and then we went anyway.
I'm going to say, yeah.
You are incorrect. Half of it's true, half is not true, though. A point there for Sammy, yeah.
The first half was true, the second half was not, yes.
The lady didn't say that. He didn't ask for a
flight. No, of course not. That'd be
coward.
Monstrous. Yeah.
Very lucky, though.
I'm not an animal.
Hearing that, you might think, oh, that's very unlucky that you didn't get to go on your honeymoon, but very lucky that the tsunami hit when it did.
Yes,
not when
exactly.
You were there.
Literally, a day. It was a day's difference. If we'd taken the flight the day before, and we only hadn't because there were no tickets available that day before, we would have been in Phuket when the tsunami hit, and then they'd make a movie out of me with Ewan McGregor playing me. That's right. I'd be very angry.
Yeah, Beyonce is playing Sammy Show. He's furious.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores are Sonia on 3 points, Gillian on 4 points, Lima on 5 points, and also on 5 points is Sammy Shah.
Oh, wow, look at that. Yeah.
Come from nothing come to from be back. In the lead. Yeah, okay, our final round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about you four. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get right, a point off if you get wrong. Only round you can lose points. First one is this one. Who here had to repeat a year while at school?
Sonia.
Yes, Sonia.
Limo?
No, it was Sammy Shah.
Sorry, Limo.
I repeated.
You know what, though? I actually did repeat a year.
Oh, did you?
Oh. Because I was at a country area school, And I skipped grade two because they just didn't have the numbers. So they said to me and another kid in grade one, you're the only two, we're going to put you into grade three. Instead of doing grade two. So then when I did grade 10 in the country and I moved to boarding school, I did grade 10 again at boarding school to get my age right.
So I was right?
Technically.
Sonia gets a point,
I did repeat year 10, yes. Right.
I repeated 8th grade three times though, so I think I beat everyone over here.
Happened?
Except for
I finished it once. I finished it all the way once and then got expelled. Because
he had sex with someone on a
plane. No, because I had porn mags in my bag that my friends had given me, and
I
was bringing them in.
Expulsion?
Yeah, I was straight
up
expelled.
We talked about this last time you were on the show.
Yeah, and then the second time, so I finished 8th grade, got expelled, so I went to a different school. They said you have to do it again, and I was so shit at my studying at that point because I was so upset about everything that happened. I failed it again, and then I did it a third time, and then I got through.
But then you also almost got kicked out of uni at Virginia.
Yes. And then I went to University of Virginia to do computer science. And after my first term, my GPA was 0.68 out of 4, which is the lowest you could possibly get. And so they said, we're going to have to kick you out just because what the fuck are you doing? And so I transferred to English. And then I was fine, basically. Yeah.
What were you doing? Were you just not turning up?
Or I realized, like, I learned programming. Like, you can learn C++ and everything, right? And I learned C++ and COBOL, like, really quickly. And I was like, what the fuck? I don't need to attend class. I'll go attend English class. I want to learn how to write books.
Yep.
So I started doing that. And there's attendance grades and all of the tests and exams that you don't know about when you're not in the class. So, yeah.
He spent too much time telling people about the woman he slept with.
Basically, also that story.
High five, everyone.
Yeah, just your hand gets exhausted. You got to just rest for a while. Yeah.
Especially in computer sciences. You had sex? Anyway, question two: who had a story about an ex cheating on them end up making the newspaper? This story ended up being
Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
Limo.
No, it was Julianne. A point off. Sammy.
Oh. Yeah.
Suck it, Steve the bartender. You're a real bad guy.
Wait, because he was famous, or you were already famous at that time?
No, neither of us was famous, but I was doing a show. I was doing this show where I wrote a song every week for 8 weeks.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
I've done it a bunch of times. And I would like outsource stuff and I'd be like, hey mates, what rhymes with Malibu and things like that. And I started dating him in the first week. I met him and he was very full on and very like, this is happening. And then in week six, I found out that he had cheated on me. And I was like wanting to write something on the internet about it. And I was like, I'm going to be classy. And I just wrote this dumb tweet that was like, some people say revenge, no, some people say living well is the best revenge. I think the best revenge is writing a song about that motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then I had to do an interview with the Herald Sun about the show coming up.
Oh.
And I don't think I even mentioned it. Yeah. And they somehow found the sexiest photo of me that exists, which does not look like me but has my name on it, and that tweet. And this horrible man read the Herald Sun every single day.
Whoa.
So he definitely saw it, and it was really nice.
That's lovely. That is well done.
And my parents were so proud of me.
We all are.
Next question. Who recently spent 5 hours in emergency because of a stubbed toe?
Jill.
Yes, Jill.
Limo.
You are correct, yes. Point there for Julianne. Right. But not your toe.
No, not my toe. So I picked up our son from daycare, and we got home, and my wife likes to do this thing when we get home from daycare where she jumps out from behind something and surprises him in the house, you know, and she went to jump out from behind the dining room table and kicked it with her little toe.
Oh.
And it was just, it was almost sideways. And I initially said to her, oh, I think that's dislocated. Do you want me to pop it back in?
Ooh.
And she was like, no. She was in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
She said, do not even fucking think about touching this thing. So luckily, both our mums were there. So we left them with the little fella. And then we went to hospital and x-ray, and it is broken clean in half.
Oh, my God.
The bow, yeah. Full broken.
How hard did she hit that?
Oh, she kicked it real hard.
Oh.
And she only had socks on. She didn't have shoes on. So she busted her toe, which is why it was full.
So how do they fix a broken little toe?
You strap it to the next one. Oh. And that's it.
That's it.
That's all you can do.
So the other guy gets recruited into it,
So, the other toe gets recruited. So she's that was about 10 days ago. It's kind of okay now. They heal really quickly. The doctor said you don't even need it.
So is she shoeless on one foot?
She's got a moon boot, ridiculously.
Oh,
that comes right up to her.
Nice.
Is she giving up on the surprise trip?
Yeah.
She might rethink the surprise in the future, yeah.
Okay, question. Where are we? Next question. Okay. Who had a child, not their own child, go through their bag on public transport and just start commentating on each item?
Limo.
Yes, Limo.
Sonia.
Yes, you are correct. Yeah, point there for Limo. Yes.
Yes.
and the mother said nothing.
Oh, really?
This kid was sat next to me. His mother was next to him and just started. I had a very shiny bag. He's like, oh, that's a shiny bag. And what's in there? And he started pulling stuff up. And I'm just like, yeah, other shiny things.
You only were back from Club X that day.
Probably don't want to touch that one. No, my giant dildo was not in there that day. Thank God. Thank God.
Next question. Same. Who here has breached the guidelines of the Guinness Book of World Records?
Sonia.
Yes, Sonia.
Sammy?
No, that was Limo. Yes. Point off Sonia there.
You breached the guidelines.
But only they got me retrospectively. Because I broke the Guinness World Record for most jokes told in an hour, right?
Oh, that's what I remember reading that. Yeah.
In an hour. And it was watched, and it was for the TV show Guinness Book of Records, Channel 7 used to do. And I had a Guinness representative watching it, and they approved it. And I was in the book in 2009, I think. Anyway, subsequently down the track, they went, nah, fuck that. We're going to give it back to Tim Vine.
So why?
I broke Tim Vine's record. He had 499.
Well, why did they give it back?
Because in the guidelines, they said you could have prompter cards with like 10 words on each card or something. So that's what I had. And then they went back and said, no, you're not. They changed
can't
that rule.
Okay.
Because Tim Vine, and Tim Vine should have it, because I just did internet jokes.
Oh,
I just
wrote
down
jokes.
Whereas he did his jokes. Yeah. I just had a pie walks into a bar and they say, sorry, we don't serve food here. Yeah. So I just did all these really short, jokey jokes off the internet. Whereas Tim Vine did 499 of his own jokes without notes. So, I mean, he should have the record. Yeah.
That's fair.
And not me.
Do you think there is a Guinness World Record for most books of Guinness World Records shoplifted?
Do you know it is the most shoplifted book in the world? Wow. Yeah.
Oh, because I had a girl come to my show last year who told me that the Barefoot Investor gets shoplifted all the time.
Oh, okay.
They have to keep it behind the counter.
Everyone's too broke to buy it.
Yeah.
it's the first rule was like, if I'm going to save money, I'm not going to buy this goddamn
book. My grandmother was in the Guinness Book of World Records.
What for?
Yeah, she had really long nails and whatnot. She had a blood transfusion and then gave birth after. She was the first woman in the world to actually give birth after a blood transfusion.
Which country was she in? In Australia?
In Australia, yeah. Oh, wow. It was a world... She was in the Guinness Book of World Records. I don't think she's in there anymore, but yeah. The end. Okay, who here at age 27 ended up crying on Space Mountain at Tokyo Disney?
Limo.
Yes, Limo.
Sammy.
No, it was good.
Why did everyone think I'm the loser?
It was very clear. I did not want to go on it. Knew how it was going to end.
Wait, why is it so scary?
I'm bad at rides. I hate rides. It's just like a terrifying roller coaster.
Do you get a picture
at
the end of that one?
It's like space. It's not space. It's just nightmares.
All right, next question. Who has been a judge for the Lux Style Awards? Who is a judge at the Lux Style Awards?
Jill.
Yes, Jillian.
Sammy.
You are correct.
It is the Oscars of Pakistan. It is literally like, but it's the Oscars and the Emmys and the Grammys all rolled in. So they have movies, music, TV, and fashion. And so I used to be a music reporter before I did anything else. And so I was the judge for the musical category.
So not on TV though. You were just that.
I hosted it 1 year. Yep. My last year before moving to Australia, I hosted it. And that year I was on TV. But yeah, for 3 years I was a judge. 1 year was really cool. Most of the time it was just in Pakistan. It was a shit show. I never even attended the thing. Then 1 year they're like, we're flying everyone to Malaysia, putting you up in a 5-star hotel, and we're going to shoot the whole thing there. I'm like, fuck yes. So my wife at the time and I went to Malaysia. And then didn't attend the Lux Style Awards, just went off to KL and did shopping for a week and came back. Yeah, it's great.
All right, next question. Whose first Facebook post was, I want pie?
Sammy.
Yes, Limo.
Okay.
I'm going to guess Sonia.
You are correct. Yes, it was Sonia, yes.
What?
That was your first. I went all through your Facebook.
That's
today.
Impressive.
I don't remember writing that.
It was in 2009.
I want pie.
I want pie.
Did you get pie?
I like how you're like this
your
new platform.
I got hacked.
No, your sister commented on it as well. So
really?
a lot of the first year was just a lot of people saying, I can't believe you finally caved into having Facebook. You're very a late adopter to it.
Yeah.
Or was it mathematical pie?
No, it's with an E.
Trying to work out the area of the circle.
Party.
It's
all right.
Food.
Our last question for the game. Who here has met the King of Sweden?
Sammy.
Yes, Sammy.
Julian.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Sammy. Yes.
At a gig? At a show?
Play for do you know who Jeannie Pratt is?
Yeah.
So I play this gig sometimes Vizzy at cardboard. Jeannie Pratt's house for Christy Will and Brown. They'll get Christy to sing and I play the piano for her. But every time it's like some dinner and we never know what it is or who's going to be there. Like one time it was the Carlton Football Club
And another time it was like, no, they're pushing dinner back and you get fed, which is great, and the house is very fancy. And then at the end, we were like, what is this event? And they were like, oh, it's for the World Scouts Foundation, but the King of Sweden is here because he's the patron of the
Cool.
Scouts. Cool. Like, I am asleep. I've had too much cheese.
An actual king of Sweden.
Do you remember what he was like?
I mean, just like stately.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
And a big fan of the Scouts.
Do you have a sash?
Yeah. Very
wear
prepared.
Reminds me of the time I fucked Prince Harry. Yeah.
That keeps coming up.
Yeah. I played the piano during that as well. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
At the end of the game, the scores are Sonia DiOrio on 3 points. Oh, sorry, you think you're going to win there.
I did get pie, though, eventually.
Sammy Shah on 5 points.
All right.
Limo on 6 points. And also on 6 points is Gillian Cosgrove.
Ooh,
it's
a tie. Bravo.
Thank you for playing. Because you win, you get to promote whatever you want to promote first. Gillian, where can people see or find you?
Oh, I'm just in Harry Potter all the time.
This is what she does.
To the Princess Theatre, I'm there.
Will you be able to do other shows soon, like your own shows? You still writing?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm doing sneaky writing things. Yeah, I'm Gillian Cosgrove with a G on the internet, so you can find me if you like.
Check her out.
And if you haven't seen the Harry Potter show, by the way, just saw it a week and a half ago, it's fucking unbelievable. Yeah, absolutely.
Utopia is back.
Cool.
Next Wednesday. Get involved.
Yeah.
Find me on Facebook and Insta, Sonia DiOrio. I'm doing gigs all around town and Bendigo Comedy Festival in October.
Misha.
I am on ABC Radio Melbourne in the breakfast slot, so 5:30 to 7:45 weekdays.
With the very wonderful Jacinta Parsons.
That's right.
She's great. Hey, if you're listening to this and you're in Melbourne, tickets are on sale for the live shows in November and December, Sundays at the Catfish at 3 o'clock. It's going to have the podcast and then followed by a stand-up show. So go to joshearl.com.au for all your tickets. Thanks for playing. See you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.